بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله على آله وصحبه ومن اتبع هداه، أما بعد، فنواصل حيث توقفنا. تعلمون أن هذه آخر محاضرة أو آخر درس، فسنأخذ إن شاء الله بعض الأشياء المهمة فيما سيأتي. وقد تم بحمد الله يعني مدارسة أكثر المسائل المهمة في الكتاب في قضايا توحيد الله سبحانه وتعالى.
بسم الله والحمد لله، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والا، وبعد. I was actually begin by mentioning that we continue then in this session with our study of the three fundamentals, and we pick up from where we left off. And he said that you will know that this is the last session in our study of the book, and we have taken many of the important issues and studied many of the important issues related to the book. And so the remaining issues are some of the easier issues or some of the more straightforward issues.
ذكر رحمه الله تعالى مع العبادات التي مثل بها، ذكر الاستعانة والاستعاذة والاستغاثة، وكل كلمة من هذه الثلاث فيها في البداية زيادة السين والتاء، وهي في اللغة بمعنى الطلب، فتكون الاستعانة طلب العون، استغاثة طلب الغوث، الاستعاذة طلب العوذ أو الاستغاثة طلب الغوث.
And so he began then, or in this mission, in this section, when he discusses the ibadat or the various acts of worship, he used and made mention of examples that have with them ziyadat or extra letters in relation to the mabna of the kalima, or in relation to the construction of the word. And that is that all of these words, we have in the beginnings of them an additional seen and an additional ta. And this additional seen, yani isti, such and such, is a reference to a talab, or is a reference to seeking something. That when that is added to a word, when it is added to a three-letter root, it carries the meaning and indicates the meaning of a talab, which is to seek something. And so all of what has been mentioned previously, al-istighatha, al-isti'ana, al-istighatha, talab al-ghawth, which is to seek rescue, al-isti'ana, to seek aid, all of these forms that fall under this pattern or this form of wording refers back to the meanings of a talab, which is to seek.
فالاستعانة أولا تأتي على أدواع، والمهم منها هو الاستعانة.
There are two girls here who have lost their father. So if anybody is acquainted with whose children these two girls are, just by the door here, Ikhwan, then let the brothers know. Jazakallah khair.
فالاستعانة المعنى المراد هنا هو الاستعانة بالله، وهي الاستعانة المتضمنة للذل والخضوع واعتماد القلب على الله عز وجل، وهذه عبادة صرفها لغير الله شرك.
And so al-isti'ana that the Shaykh mentions here, it carries the meaning or the intent behind it is to make isti'ana or to seek the aid of Allah عز وجل. And it comprises the meanings of submission and humble compliance for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, and seeking a humble submission in seeking aid from Allah Azza wa Jal.
أما الاستعانة بالأموات أو بالمخلوق فيما لا يقدر عليه إلا الله فهذا شرك.
As far as making isti'ana with the dead or with those who are alive, seeking from them that which nothing or that which no one can aid them upon except for Allah Azza wa Jalla, then this is considered shirk.
أما الاستعانة بالحي الحاضر القادر فهذا أمر جائز ولا حرج فيه.
But to make isti'ana with someone who is alive, present, and has the ability to help you, then this is permissible and there is no problem with that.
وتعاونوا على البر والتقوى.
Allah has said and seek and cooperate upon righteousness and taqwa.
وذكر الدليل على ذلك إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين فمعناه أنه لا عبادة إلا لله ولا استعانة تعبدية إلا بالله.
And so he mentions the evidence for that, and that is the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, you alone do we worship and your aid alone do we seek. And so it indicates clearly that there is no ibadah except to Allah, and that there is no isti'ana, no seeking of aid except from Allah subhanahu.
كذلك حديث ابن عباس إذا استعنت فاستعن بالله.
Likewise the hadith of Ibn Abbas, if you seek aid then seek the aid of Allah.
ومثله الاستعاذة بمعنى طلب العوذ.
And similarly seeking isti'adha, which is to seek refuge.
أي طلب الحماية من أمر مكروه.
That is to seek protection from something that is disliked.
وهذه أيضا تكون عبادة إذا كانت متضمنة للافتقار والتعظيم لله عز وجل فإن هذا من النوع من نوع العبادة.
And this is considered ibadah if a person has with it, if there is coupled with it the glorification of Allah عز وجل and submission of oneself to Allah Azza wa Jalla. If these characteristics of humility and seeking aid from Allah Azza wa Jalla are present, then it is considered ibadah. Glorifying Allah Azza wa Jalla, it is considered ibadah.
ويدخل في ذلك الاستعاذة بصفة من صفات الله عز وجل وهي أيضا عبادة مثل أعوذ بكلمات الله التامات أعوذ برضاك من سخطك.
And what enters into that likewise is the isti'adha or seeking refuge by way of one of the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. Like the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, I seek refuge in the kalimatillah, I seek refuge in the complete words of Allah Azza wa Jal, I seek refuge in your good pleasure from your anger, and so on.
أما الاستعاذة بالأموات أو بالأحياء غير الحاضرين وغير القادرين فهذا العوذ شرك بالله سبحانه وتعالى.
As far as making isti'adha, that is seeking refuge in the dead, or seeking refuge in someone who is present, or someone who is alive but not present, or someone who doesn't have the ability to grant you refuge, then that is seeking, or that is a isti'adha that is considered shirk.
ذكر الدليل على ذلك قل أعوذ برب الفلق وقل أعوذ برب الناس.
He mentioned evidence for that, the likes of the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla, say, I seek refuge with the Lord of mankind, the King of mankind.
وذكر من أنواع العباد الاستغاثة. فقال دليل الاستغاثة قوله إذ تستغيثون ربكم فاستجاب لكم. والإغاثة مثل ما قلنا طلب الغوث أي الإنقاذ من الشدة والمهلكة. فهذه أيضا من أنواع العبادة.
Likewise from the categories of ibadah is al-istighatha. And istighatha is from the categories of ibadah, categories of worship that revolve around seeking refuge. That is seeking to be saved. As Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned, وَإِذْ تَسْتَغِيثُونَ رَبَّكُمْ فَاسْتَجَابَ لَكُمْ. When you sought the aid or sought rescue from Allah Azza wa Jal or from your Lord, and He rescued you.
أَمَّا الْإِسْتِغَاثَ بِالْأَمْوَاتِ أو بالأحياء غير الحاضرين قادرين على الإغاثة فهذا داخل في الشرك بالله سبحانه وتعالى.
Similarly, as far as seeking refuge with the dead or rescue rather with the dead and seeking rescue from those who are alive but not present or alive but unable to help you, then this is considered shirk with Allah عز وجل.
أما الاستغاثة بالحي القادر فإن هذا جائز. كقوله تعالى في قصة موسى فاستغاثه الذي من شيعته على الذي من عدوه.
But as far as making istighatha or seeking refuge and rescue from someone who is alive and able, then that is permissible, as Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned concerning the story of Musa, that the one who was from his party and from the party of Musa sought rescue from him, sought aid and rescue from him upon the one or against the one who was his enemy. And so if it is that he is alive and able to give him and to grant rescue, then that is permissible.
والقاعدة في ذلك أن شروط الاستغاثة أو الاستعاذة الجائزة بالمخلوق قال أهل العلم يشترط لها يكون حيا وقادرا وحاضرا وسامعا.
And so as far as the conditions are concerned, then the scholars, they mentioned that the conditions of making istighatha is that the person is alive, present,
قادر,
able, and سامع. That is, he's able to hear the request.
فإن اختل شرط من هذه الشروط انتقلت هذه العبادة الاستغاثة أو الاستعاذة أو الاستعانة إلى إما إلى الشرك أو إلى أمر محرم.
And so if one of those conditions are not present, then al-isti'adha is, it moves from being a permissible action to something that is either shirk or haram.
ومن العبادات الذبح. قال ودليل الذبح قل إن صلاتي ونسكي والنسك هو الذبح.
Likewise, from the acts of worship is to sacrifice for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, yani slaughtering and sacrificing for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is done purely for the sake of Allah. And he made mention of the evidence for that, قل إن صلاتي ونسكي, that say indeed my salah and my slaughtering, that is a reference يعني to الذبح, to sacrificing. نعم.
ومحياي ومماتي, أي كل ما أفعله في حياتي وكذلك حال مماتي فإنه لا بد أن يكون لله وحده لا شريك له.
And my living and my dying, that is everything that I do in my life, everything that are from the acts of worship and the acts that I carry out in my life, I do them for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal.
وجاء في السنة من لعن الله من ذبح لغير الله, واللعن هنا دليل على أن هذا من كبائر الذنوب والشرك أكبر الكبائر.
And it occurs in an authentic text, authentic hadith, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said that Allah Azza wa Jal has cursed the one who slaughters for other than Allah. And the mention of the curse of the la'an, it indicates clearly that it is from the major sins. Indicates clearly that it is from the major sins, and the greatest of them is shirk.
من أنواع العبادة كذلك ذكر النذر, والنذر له شقان.
And from the acts of ibadah and worship, he likewise mentions another, which is to have or to give a vow for the sake of Allah. And there are two types of nadhar.
فهو متضمن للبدء بالنذر وبالوفاء بالنذر.
Or rather two aspects of an-nadhar. We have that which is related to carrying it out, or beginning or setting out with the nadhar, and fulfilling it once we have given it, once we have made one. So there are two aspects to the nadhar. That which is related to embarking upon initializing a vow, and secondly, fulfilling the vow if it is carried out.
ولا يجوز صرف الأمرين إلا لله عز وجل في البدء وفي الوفاء.
And there, it is not permissible to carry out the action, both of those affairs, whether embarking and initializing a vow or fulfilling the vow, except for the sake of Allah عز وجل.
والنذر أهل العلم يقولون يأتي على نوعين.
And again, the people of knowledge, they mentioned that the nadhar or the vow is of two types.
نذر مطلق ونذر مقيد. النذر المطلق هذا غير مكروه وهو العبادة.
So we have the absolute nadhar, and then we have the nadhar that is muqayyad, yani that is the vow that is that is يعني it is
بالمثال يتضح أكثر النذر المطلق
or restricted vow or restricted vow
بالمثال يتضح
نعم so it become clearer with example
النذر المطلق ألا يقيده بطلب فلا يقول إن حصل الشفاء فإني أنذر أن أذبح كذا وكذا
and so with the absolute vow he doesn't restrict it to a particular outcome يعني that is he doesn't say if I am cured then I'm going to slaughter such and such or I'm going to do such and such
فيكون صيغة النذر المطلق أن يقول نذرت لله أن أعتمر يحث نفسه على العمل الصالح من دون قيد
And so the absolute vow, for example, is that he says that I make a vow to Allah that I'm going to make Umrah. And it's not restricted to a particular outcome or a particular result that one seeks.
فهذا غير مكروه وهو من أنواع العبادة.
And so this is not disliked and it is from the types and categories of ibadah.
أما المكروه فهو الذي يكون على وجه التقييد وهو الذي قال عنه النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام أنه لا يستخرج إلا من البخيل.
As far as the type that is disliked, though, and the type that the Prophet ﷺ spoke about in text, then it is the second type, and that is that the Prophet ﷺ he said, "إنما يستخرج به من البخيل," that the only thing that the vow does is get something out of a miserly person.
كأنه يشترط على الله شرطا إن حصل كذا فإني سأفعل طاعة كذا. لذلك قال كأنه لا يخرج هذه الصدقة أو هذه العبادة إلا على صورة الرجل البخيل الذي لا يخرج إلا بشق الأنفس.
And that is as though the Prophet ﷺ was saying that when a person says if this happens and I'm going to give this or I'm going to do such and such, that he's making this condition upon Allah عز وجل, and that it is as though he wouldn't have given that amount or he wouldn't have done that particular thing except with this particular outcome. And so it is just like a miserly man who won't give unless he has a particular outcome.
وكل الأمرين إن حصل منه فإن الوفاء به واجب.
And regardless both of those scenarios, if they occur from an individual, then it is wajib to carry them out.
لذلك قال الله عز وجل يوفون بالنذر ولم يقل ينذرون لأن النذر منه ما هو مكروه ومنه ما هو محبوب.
And that, for that reason Allah عز وجل he said that they fulfill their vows. And Allah Azza wa Jalla did not say they vow. He said that is because the fulfillment of a vow is one thing, but as far as the actual vow itself, then from it there is that which is permissible and from it there is that which is disliked.
ثم انتقل بعد ذلك إلى الأصل الثاني. وسنقرأ في الأصل الثاني وإن احتجنا إلى تعليق سنعلق إن شاء الله.
And then he moves on to the second asl or the second principle, and so we'll read then, and whatever requires commenting, then we'll make a comment, inshallah. قال المصنف رحمه الله تعالى والأصل الثاني معرفة دين الإسلام بالأدلة وهو الاستسلام لله بالتوحيد والانقياد له بالطاعة والخلوص من الشرك وهو ثلاث مراتب الإسلام والإيمان والإحسان وكل مرتبة لها أركان.
نعم هنا بين تعريف الإسلام استسلام لله بالتوحيد وهذا مر معنا قياد له بالطاعة وقال الخلوص من الشرك في بعض النسخ والبراءة من الشرك وأهله والخلوص من الشرك يستلزم منه البراءة من الشرك ومن أهل الشرك.
And so he mentioned that the second principle is the knowledge of the religion of Islam with its proofs. So Islam is to submit to Allah by worshipping Him alone in Tawheed, to yield to Him in obedience, and to disassociate oneself from polytheism. And he said in some of the nusakh, in some of the prints, you may find al-bara'atu instead of al-khulusu min al-shirk, that you'll find al-bara'atu min al-shirki wa ahlihi. That is that one frees oneself and disassociates oneself from shirk and from its people. He said, and that is because of the fact that bara'a, and freeing oneself from shirk necessitates freeing oneself from its people.
وبين أن الإسلام أو الدين ثلاثة مراتب وهذا مر معنا ذكره وسيأتي ذكر حديث جبريل الطويل.
And then he likewise explained the fact that Islam is of three levels And this similarly we have previously discussed, and they shall come the hadith or the lengthy hadith of Jibreel.
وكل مرتبة من هذه المراتب لها أركان.
And so each and every one of these levels has arkan or has pillars.
وهي معروفة معلومة نقراها.
And they are well known. He mentions رحمه الله تعالى هو ثلاث مراتب الإسلام والإيمان والإحسان وكل مرتبة لها أركان. يقول المرتبة الأولى الإسلام. فأركان الإسلام خمسة والدليل من السنة حديث ابن عمر رضي الله عنه رضي الله عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بني الإسلام على خمس شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة وصوم رمضان وحج البيت الحرام فالدليل الشهادة قوله تعالى شهد الله أنه لا إله إلا هو والملائكة وأولو العلم قائما بالقسط لا إله إلا هو العزيز الحكيم ومعناها لا معبود بحق إلا الله النفي لا إله نافيا جميع ما يعبد من دون الله إلا الله مثبتا العبادة لله وحده لا شريك له في عبادته كما أنه ليس له شريك في ملكه
نعم هنا بعد أن بين أركان الإسلام الخمسة المعلومة في حديث ابن عمر
نعم so here he goes on to mention the أركان of Islam and he explains in it in essence the hadith or the lengthy hadith of Jibreel or of the lengthy hadith of the أركان of Islam the hadith of ابن عمر
بين أن معنى شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله أي لا معبودة بحق إلا الله وهذه أو هذا التعريف مشتمل للنفي والإثبات نفي جميع المعبودات وإثبات العبادة لله عز وجل وحده وهذا ما دل عليه القرآن في بيان وتفسير شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله كما سيأتي
And so we explain the fact that the meaning of لا إله إلا الله is لا معبود بحق إلا الله that there is no deity worthy of worship except for Allah And the fact that this testimony comprises of a negation and affirmation. Comprises a negation and affirmation. That is, a negation of everything that is worshipped besides Allah and an affirmation of the fact that none of those things are to be worshipped except for Allah subhanahu.
من ذلك ذكر تفسيرها الذي يوضحها وهنا نتدبر في الآيات عند ذكر التوحيد نجد النفي والإثبات.
And so, and then he goes on to mention the tafsir or the explanation of what will make it clear. And so we reflect upon these verses, for indeed we have in this verse that which will clarify the affair of negation and affirmation. The affair of negation and affirmation.
فذكر قول إبراهيم إذ قال لأبيه وإذ قال إبراهيم لأبيه وقومه إنني براء مما تعبدون. هذا النفي. والإثبات في قوله إلا الذي فطرني أي إلا الذي خلقني
For example, he mentions here the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla when Ibrahim, and recall or remember when Ibrahim said to his father and to his people Indeed, I am free of what you worship and that is the negation And then the affirmation it comes with his following statement Except the worship of the one that created me And so here we have again negation and affirmation
وكذلك قوله تعالى قل يا أهل الكتاب طبعا تكملت الآية وجعلها كلمة باقية في عقبه والكلمة التي جعلها باقية في عقبه أتوارثونها هي كلمة التوحيد
and then the end of the verse when Allah Azza wa Jal mentions وجعلها كلمة باقية that Allah Azza wa Jal made it a kalima or a lasting word among his offsprings that lasting word is a reference to كلمة التوحيد
وأيضا في قوله تعالى قل يا أهل الكتاب تعالوا إلى كلمة سواء بيننا وبينكم ألا نعبد إلا الله ولا نشرك به شيئا ألا نعبد إلا الله فيه إثبات لعبودية الله ولا نشرك به شيئا فيه النفي
Similarly, the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal say, O people of the book, come to a common word between us and you that we do not worship except Allah. That is the negation. and that we shall not associate partners with him. Again, we have this negation. And that we do not take for ourselves individuals as lords besides Allah. So we have negation and that we have affirmation within this very verse.
وهذا دليل على بطلان من يفسر لا إله إلا الله بتوحيد الربوبية فيقول لا خالق ولا رازق إلا الله.
And this is an evidence of the false nature of those who explain لا إله إلا الله with ربوبية. They say that لا إله إلا الله, it means that there is no خالق, no creator, no sustainer except for Allah. It's an error.
وهذا على هذا التعريف فإن كفار قريش مقرون بالربوبية فيكونوا قد أسلموا.
And on that basis, then the kuffar of Quraysh, then they are Muslimun because they accept Rububiyya, they accept the lordship of Allah Azza wa Jal. So on that basis, they would have embraced Islam.
بل إن كفار قريش كما قال الشيخ الإسلام محمد بن وهاب رحمه الله تعالى أفهم لمعنى لا إله إلا الله من بعض الجهلة المعاصرين.
In fact, as الشيخ محمد بن عبد الوهاب he mentions رحمه الله, the kuffar of Quraysh understand better the meaning of La ilaha illallah than some of the ignorant ones in our time.
لذلك لما قيل لهم قولوا لا إله إلا الله قالوا أجعل الآلهة إلها واحدة.
And for that reason, when it was said to them, say La ilaha illallah, they said, do you make the آلهة, do you make the idols one God?
لكن المعاصرين ممن يعبدون القبور وغيرهم يعبدون قبورهم ويذبحون لها وينذرون وإذا قلت لهم قولوا لا إله الله يقولون لا إله الله ألف مرة ولا يفهمون معناها.
And so those who worship to the graves or slaughter for the graves and carry out the various acts of worship that they do for those graves, when it is said to them لا إله say لا إله إلا الله, they say لا إله إلا الله 1,000 times, well, they don't understand its meaning.
ثم ذكر دليل الشهادة أن محمد رسول الله لقد جاءكم رسول من أنفسكم عزيز عليه ما عنتم أي يعز عليه ما يشق عليكم.
And then he mentioned the evidence for the testimony of Muhammad Rasulullah, and that is the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, there has come to you a messenger from among yourselves, it grieves him that you should receive any injury or hardship, that is, it is hard upon him that you should be harmed.
وحريص عليكم ما بالمؤمنين رؤوف الرحيم, هذه صفات النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام.
حريص عليكم, and that is, he is ardent over you, and with the believers he is full of pity and kindness. That is from the characteristics of the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم and mercy.
وشهادة أن محمد رسول الله تتضمن أربعة مراتب.
And bearing witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah has in it 4 levels.
وهي الطاعة والتصديق والاجتناب عما نهى عنه وعبادة الله بما شرع أي بالاتباع.
And those 4 levels are that we, number one, have طاعة, that is obedience to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. تصديق, يعني that we accept and we believe everything that he says, that we refrain from what he prohibits. Thirdly, and fourthly, that we do not worship Allah except by way of that which he has legislated.
وطاعة النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام من طاعة الله سبحانه وتعالى, لذلك جاء في حديث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يوشك الرجل متكئ على أريكته يأتيه الأمر من أمري فيقول ما وجدنا في كتاب الله أخذناه وما لم نجده لم نأخذه, قال ألا إني أوتيت القرآن ومثله معه.
And so this affair then of following the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم in relation to the rulings, the Prophet ﷺ has commanded that indeed close, or he mentioned that indeed it is close to occurring that a man will be reclining upon his armchair saying that what comes to us from the Book of Allah we take it, and what doesn't then we reject it. He said, indeed I have been given the Quran and that which is like unto it with it.
وجاءت امرأة لابن مسعود رضي الله تعالى عنه فقالت له إني قرأت القرآن فما وجدت فيه تحريم النمص نتف شعر الحاجبين, فقال لها إن كنت قرأتيه فقد وجدتيه, قالت أين, فقال وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا.
And so a woman came to Ibn Mas'ud رضي الله عنه and she said that indeed I do not find in the book of Allah the prohibition against plucking the eyebrows. And so Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he said, if indeed you truly read it, then you would have found it. And so she said, where? And so Ibn Mas'ud, he recited to her, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ. And that which the messenger gives to you, then take it, and that which he prohibits you from, then refrain from it.
ثم ذكر دليل الصلاة والزكاة والصيام والحج نقرأه هنا.
And then he mentions the evidences related to Salah, Zakah, and Hajj and other than that. قال رحمه الله تعالى. And then he mentioned, and we'll read it in English, the evidence for the prayer and zakah and the meanings of Tawheed is the statement of Allah, the saying of Allah the Most High, they were not commanded except to worship Allah, making their worship sincerely and solely for Him, free of idolatry, and to establish the prayer and pay the zakah, and that is what, or that is the right and true religion. And the evidence for fasting is the saying of Allah Azza wa Jalla the Most High, O ye who believe, fasting has been prescribed for you just as it was prescribed upon those who came before you, so that you may be pious. And the evidence for Hajj is the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla the Most High, and Hajj to the house, Kaaba, is a duty upon mankind, or a duty that mankind owes to Allah Azza wa Jalla for those who can afford the expenses, and whoever denies it, who denies its obligation, then Allah Azza wa Jalla is not in need of any of the creation. The second level of martabat al-thani.
هنا هذه الأركان الخمسة لا شك أنها من مباني الإسلام ويجب على المسلم محافظة عليها, محافظة على تحقيق التوحيد, محافظة على الصلوات الخمس حيث ينادى بها أو بهن في المساجد, وكذلك المحافظة على أداء الزكاة والصيام والاجتهاد في أداء وقضاء فريضة الحج.
And so these pillars of Islam, of course, these are from the fundamental grassroots affairs related to the deen, that is the after the bearing witness to La ilaha illallah, that one establishes the salah, where the call is made for them, yeah, and in the masajid, that is that one gives the zakah, pays the zakah, that one fasts in Ramadan, that one performs the hajj to the house, to the Kaaba, for those who are able to do so. These are from the fundamental grassroots affairs of Islam.
ثم ذكر المرتبة الثانية وهي الإيمان, وذكر فيها رحمه الله تعالى بعض المسائل في بيان عقيدة أهل السنة.
And then he mentions the second martaba, the second level, and that is the affair of Iman. And he mentions some of the important affairs connected to the belief of Ahl Sunnah in relation to Iman.
وقوله أن الإيمان بضع وسبعون شعبة, فهذا فيه ثبات أن الإيمان يتجزأ, وإذا أثبتنا أن الإيمان يتجزأ ويتقسم ويتفاضل فهذا رد على الخوارج وعلى المعتزلة وعلى المرجعة.
نعم. And so he mentions here the fact that Iman is of 70 odd branches, and this indicates clearly that Iman is of parts, that Iman is of parts. And if we say that Iman is of parts, and that of course is a refutation against the likes of the Khawarij, of the Mu'tazila, and the Murji'ah. We have a refutation against these groups.
لأن الخوارج والمعتزلة يقولون الإيمان كل لا يتجزأ, إذا ذهب شيء منه ذهب كله فأصبح كافرا.
And that is because the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila, they say that Iman is one whole. If it goes, it goes. If it's present, it's present. And if it goes, all of it goes. And that's that, and on that basis, they make takfir of those who they believe have lost it.
وكذلك المرجع قالوا إن ثبت جزء من الإيمان ثبت كل الإيمان فأصبح الرجل مؤمنا كامل الإيمان.
Likewise, the murji'ah on the other end of the spectrum, they say if a small part of Iman is established, then all of Iman is established. And if a person is considered a believer, then he is considered a believer complete in Iman.
وذكر كذلك في هذا الحديث تعريف الإيمان, وأن الإيمان قول, أو إن الإيمان اعتقاد وقول وعمل.
And in the text likewise, he mentions the ta'rif or the definition of Iman, and that is that Iman is statement, action, and belief.
فقال فأعلاها قول لا إله إلا الله وهذا القول.
And so he mentions that its highest branch is saying لا إله إلا الله, and this is a statement.
وإماطة الأذى عن الطريق هذا عمل.
And removing something from the path is an action.
والحياء شعبة من الإيمان وهذا اعتقاد في القلب.
And that shyness is a branch of iman. This is something that is believed and held in the heart.
والمرجئة يجمعون على إخراج العمل من الإيمان بخلاف أهل السنة والجماعة فإنهم مجمعون على إدخاله فيه.
And the murji'a are all united upon removing actions from iman, which is in opposition to Ahl al-Sunnah, who are united upon considering iman, considering actions from iman.
ثم بدأ يذكر أركان الإيمان الستة.
And then he goes on to mention the pillars of or the six pillars of iman.
الأول قال وأركانه ستة أن تؤمن بالله.
And so the first of them is that he said that you believe in Allah.
الإيمان بالله يتضمن أربعة أمور.
Believing in Allah includes and comprises four things.
الإيمان بوجوده.
One, belief in His presence.
الإيمان بربوبيته.
Two, belief in His rububiyyah, in His lordship.
والألوهية والأسماء والصفات.
And thirdly, that He has the right to be worshipped. And fourthly, in His أسماء والصفات, in His names and attributes.
قال والإيمان بعد ذلك بملائكته.
And then after that he mentions a belief in the malaika.
والإيمان بالملائكة أيضا يتضمن أربعة أمور.
And belief in the malaika comprises four things.
الإيمان بوجودهم.
Belief in their existence.
والإيمان بما صح من أسمائهم.
Belief in that which is authentic from their names.
والإيمان بما صح من أعمالهم.
Belief in that which is authentic from their actions.
والإيمان بصفاتهم إما الخلقية من الأخلاق أو الخلقية.
And iman in their characteristics, either the characteristics related to their character or that which is related to their physical characteristics.
وكل ذلك راجع إلى ما صح من النصوص.
All of that returns back to what is authentic from the text.
والثالث الإيمان بالكتب.
And thirdly, belief in the books.
الإيمان بالكتب إيمان مجمل وإيمان مفصل.
And belief in the books is of two types, that which is general and that which is specific.
الإيمان المجمل يتعلق بالكتب السابقة فنؤمن بما صح من أسمائها وما صح من أخبارها.
So belief in the books is a reference to belief in the books of the past. That is, we believe in that which is authentic from their names and from their characteristics.
والإيمان الخاص أو المفصل فهو إيماننا بالقرآن وهو الكتاب الذي نزل على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فنؤمن أنه خاتم الكتب وأنه ناسخ الكتب السابقة جميعا.
And in relation to our specific belief, then it is a reference to our believing in the Quran, and that in specific it is the seal of the books that was sent by Allah عز وجل, and that it has nullified the previous books.
ونحوه الإيمان بالرسل إيمان مجمل وإيمان مفصل على نفس النسق الذي ذكرناه في الإيمان بالكتب.
And likewise belief in the رسل, belief in the messengers, we have a general belief or general إيمان in them and specific belief in them.
والإيمان باليوم الآخر يتضمن أيضا أربعة أمور.
And believing in the last day comprises four things.
الإيمان بالبعث.
Believing in the resurrection.
الإيمان بالحساب والجزاء.
Believing in the giving of account and the recompense.
الإيمان بالجنة والنار.
Believing in Jannah and the hellfire.
والإيمان بكل ما بعد الموت كالقبر ونعيمه وعذابه.
And believing in everything that is after death, like the grave, its bliss and its punishment.
ثم قال بعد ذلك أيضا الإيمان بالقدر وهو سادس أركان الإيمان.
And then you mentioned after that the iman concerning the pre-decree, and it is the sixth pillar of iman.
والإيمان بالقضاء والقدر أيضا يتضمن أربعة أمور.
And therefore the belief in the pre-decree and predestiny revolves around four things.
تضمن الإيمان بالعلم.
It is to have knowledge or of one iman or belief in the knowledge of Allah عز وجل in relation to pre-decree.
الإيمان بأن الله يعلم كل شيء جملة وتفصيلا.
That is that Allah عز وجل knows everything that is going to occur جملة وتفصيلا, يعني in كل شيء. Detail, everything.
والإيمان بأن الله كتب كل شيء في اللوح المحفوظ.
And believe that Allah عز وجل wrote everything. Secondly, in the Lawh al-Mahfuz.
والإيمان بأن الله خلق كل شيء.
Thirdly, having iman that Allah is in the fact that Allah Azza wa Jalla created everything.
والإيمان بمشيئة الله عز وجل النافذة فما يشاء العباد إلا بمشيئة الله سبحانه وتعالى.
And a belief in the mashia of Allah Azza wa Jalla, in the will of Allah that Allah Azza wa Jalla does not, or the servants do not will except as Allah wills.
وأهل السنة والجماعة يؤمنون بأن كل شيء بقضاء الله وقدره ويؤمنون أن الله أعطى العبد قدرة على الاختيار والمشيئة فهو ليس مجبر.
And so we believe then in the pre-decree and predestiny, and that is that Allah Azza wa Jal has, or we believe in the pre-decree, and we likewise believe that Allah Azza wa Jal has given the servants free will, and that is that they are not compelled to carry out actions based upon pre-decree, but they are not compelled, but they are given free will.
وهناك بيت شعر جمع هذه الأربع وهو قول الناظم علم كتابة مولانا مشيئته وخلقه وهو إيجاد وتكوين علم كتابة مولانا مشيئته.
And so there are some lines of poetry Al-Sheikh is mentioning, if anybody wants to record that, علم كتابة مولانا مشيئته
وخلقه وهو إيجاد وتكوين
وخلقه وهو إيجاد وتكوين.
فعلى العبد أن يؤمن بالقضاء والقدر كله من عند الله سبحانه وتعالى.
So it is upon the servant to believe in قضاء والقدر, to believe in the pre-decree and predestiny, and all of it is from Allah عز وجل.
ثم ذكر الدليل على هذه الأركان الستة من القرآن ومن سنة النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام في حديث جبريل الطويل.
And then he mentioned the evidence for these six pillars of iman. And he mentioned the hadith of Jibreel, the long and the lengthy hadith of Jibreel. He mentions in regards to the six pillars, the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla, it is not piety that you should turn your face to the east or the west. Rather, piety is that you turn your face, or rather, piety is the piety of those who believe in Allah, the last day, the angels, the books, and the prophets.
Yes.
Then he mentions the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the proof for pre-decree, verily we have created all things in accordance to pre-decree.
ثم انتقل بعد ذلك المرتبة الثالثة وهي مرتبة الإحسان.
And then he moves there and after to the third level, and that is the level of إحسان.
والإحسان هو أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك.
And إحسان is that you worship Allah as though you see Him, but even though you do not see Him, then He certainly sees you.
وذكر الدليل على هذا الإحسان وهو أعلى مراتب الدين.
And he mentioned the evidence for this إحسان, and it is the highest level of deen.
قال إن الله مع الذين اتقوا والذين هم محسنون.
He mentioned that the ayah, verily Allah is with those who fear Him and keep their duty unto Him.
وذكر هنا في تعريف الإحسان أعظم أسباب الوصول إلى هذه المرتبة وهو أن تعتقد أن الله يراك.
And the rest of the verse, and those who are doers of good. And then he mentioned the greatest level, or this greatest definition revolving around this affair of إحسان and its definition, and that is that you worship Allah as though you see Him.
لذلك الله عز وجل لما أمر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بالتوكل على الله قال له الذي يراك حين تقوم وتقلبك في الساجدين.
And so when Allah Azza wa Jal commanded the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with muraqaba and being cognizant of the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal sees you, then He commanded him with the statement of Allah, the one who sees you when you rise and you're moving about in the places of prayer.
وأيضا ذكر أهل الإيمان بذلك قال وما تكون في شأن وما تتلو منه من قرآن وما ولا تعملون من عمل إلا كنا عليكم شهودا إذ تفيضون فيه أي إذ تقدمون عليه فالله عز وجل يراكم فيجب عليكم إذا اعتقدتم أن الله يراكم أن تحسنوا غاية الإحسان في أداء العبادة.
And he mentioned the statement of Allah عز وجل that fortifies that, that indeed you do not carry out any action or you do not carry out anything or any action, or that you do not carry out تَعْمَلُونَ مِنْ عَمَلٍ اتُفِيضُ لَا أَلِّي قَبْلُهُ مَا تَقُومُ تَكُونُ مِنْ فِي شَأْنٍ نَعْمٍ. That you there isn't any affair, or there is not a thing, وَلَا تَتْلُو مِنْهُ مِنْ قُرْآنٍ, or you do not recite any verse, or you don't carry out an action except that he is with you, اتُفِيضُونَ فِيهِ, when you do what it is you do.
وَذَكَرَ حَدِيثَ جِبْرِيلِ قال الدليل من السنة حديث جبريل المشهور نقرأه بترجمته.
And then he mentioned the evidence of Jibreel, or the hadith of Jibreel, and he mentioned that indeed the evidence for Ihsan is the well-known hadith of Jibreel, and that is what the Prophet ﷺ, as Umar radiallahu anhu, he mentioned that whilst we were sitting with the Prophet ﷺ, a man entered upon us and his garments were exceedingly white and his hair exceedingly black, and there were no signs of travel upon him, and yet not one single one of us knew who he was. He came and he sat in front of the Prophet ﷺ, putting his knees against his knees and placing his hands on his thighs. He said, "Oh Muhammad, tell me about Islam." The Prophet ﷺ replied, "Is that you testify that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, and that you establish the prayer, that you pay the zakah, and that you fast the month of Ramadan, and that you perform hajj to the house if you are able to do so?" The man said, "You have spoken the truth." So we were surprised with him when he asked the question and then affirmed the truthfulness of it. The man then said, "Tell me about Iman." The Prophet ﷺ replied that you believe in Allah, His angels, His books, His messengers, the last day and pre-decree. It's good and it's evil. The man said, "You have spoken correctly, or you have spoken the truth." He then said, "Tell me about Ihsan." He replied, "That you worship Allah as though you see him, and though you see him not, indeed he sees you." The man then asked, "Tell me about the hour." And the Prophet ﷺ replied, "The one being asked about it is no more aware concerning it than the one asking." The man continued, "Inform me of its signs." And so he said, the Prophet ﷺ, he said, "When a slave woman gives birth to her mistress, and when you see the barefooted, unclothed, destitute shepherd competing in the building of tall buildings." Umar radiallahu anhu said, so he left and we remained behind for a while. Then the Prophet ﷺ, he said, "Umar, do you know who the questioner was?" And so we replied, "Allah and His Messenger know best." He said, "That was Jibreel who came to teach you the matters of your religion."
ثم ذكر الأصل الثالث من حديث جبريل تكلمنا عن أكثره أو المسائل التي وردت فيه سابقا.
And then, of course, the hadith of Jibreel, we've spoken about it previously, and most of the issues connected to it. So we move on then to the third principle. He mentioned here the third principle.
أما الأصل الثالث فهو في نبينا عليه الصلاة والسلام ومعرفة نسبه.
معرفة
نسبه.
And then he mentioned the third principle, and that is knowing the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and being familiar with his lineage.
وسنة ولادته وبلده وهجرته.
The year of his birth, the place of his birth, and his migration.
ومعرفة حياته النبوية.
And being acquainted with his life, his prophetic life.
وبماذا كان نبيا وبماذا كان رسولا.
And with what did he become a prophet? With what did he become a messenger?
ومما ركز عليه الشيخ في بيان سيرة النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام هو بيان أنه كان أول ما يدعو وأعظم ما يدعو إليه هو توحيد الله سبحانه وتعالى.
And what he concentrated upon, what the Sheikh concentrated upon in explaining the life of the Messenger, is that he mentioned that the first and the greatest of the things that he called to was the call to the توحيد of Allah عز وجل.
لذلك قال الشيخ بعد ذكره لسيرته. أقرأ الأصل الثالث.
And for that reason, he mentioned in relation to the seerah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, that the third principle is knowing your Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. He is Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, the son of Abdul Muttalib, the son of Hashim, and Hashim is from the tribe of Quraysh, and the Quraysh are from the Arab, and the Arab are from the offsprings of Ismail, the son of Ibrahim al-Khalil, the one Allah Azza wa Jal chose as a close friend, and may the excellent peace and blessings be upon him and upon our Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. He lived for 63 years, 40 of those years were before his prophethood, and 23 were as a prophet and a messenger. He was appointed as a prophet with the Quranic verse Iqra, and he was appointed as a messenger with the Quranic verse Al-Mudathir, the one wrapped up in garments. He was from the city of Mecca, and he was sent to warn against the against polytheism and to call to Tawheed, the worship of Allah Azza wa Jalla alone. And the proof of this is in the statement of Allah the Most High, O you wrapped up in your garments, rise and warn the people, magnify your Lord and purify your garments, and shun the idols, and do not give a thing in order to get one in return, and be patient for the sake of your Lord.
وانظر هنا كيف يركز الشيخ حين ذكره لسيرة النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام على التوحيد لله عز وجل.
Look here how the Shaykh concentrates when he mentions the affair of the seerah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Look how he concentrates upon the affairs of Tawheed.
وهذا أعظم ما يحرك قلوب الموحدين ذكرهم حتى في تدريسهم للسيرة أو الفقه أو غيرها من العلوم. تجد دروسهم وكلماتهم لا تخلو من بيان توحيد الله عز وجل.
And this is the greatest thing that moves and stirs the heart of the believers, regardless of what it is they teach, whether they teach seerah or fiqh or whatever it is they teach, that they connect the people and that they are moved by the tawheed of Allah عز وجل.
ثم بين وفسر ووضح معنى الآيات في سورة المدثر.
And then he went on to explain the آيات in Surah Al-Mudathir.
ففسر حتى قوله ثيابك فطهر بأنه التطهير المعنوي وهو من الشرك بالله سبحانه وتعالى.
And he explained that even with the statement of Allah وثيابك فطهر and purify your garments, he even explained that this means to purify your garments from shirk and establish by way of it tawheed.
نعم اقرأ.
التفسير. The meaning of arise and warn the people is that he must warn against polytheism and call the people to worship Allah Azza wa Jalla alone. As far as the statement وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ and meaning the or magnify your Lord, it is to extol and exalt Allah Azza wa Jalla by the worship of him alone. As far as the statement وَثِيَابَكَ فَطَهِّرْ and purify your garment, it means purify your garments from shirk, i.e. from polytheism. And as far as the statement وَالرُّجْزَ فَهَجُرْ, that shun the rujz. Rujz are the idols. To shun the idols is to leave them and disassociate from them and from those who worship them. Then he went on to mention that he remained upon this for 10 years, calling to Tawheed, and then after 10 years he was carried into the heavens and the 5 daily prayers were obligated upon him. He prayed in Mecca for 3 years and thereafter
هذا فيه بيان حادثة الإسراء والمعراج وهي من أعظم دلائل نبوة النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام.
And this has it in an explanation of the Isra and Mi'raj, and it was from the greatest of the affairs that occurred throughout the prophethood of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم.
وفريضة الصلاة على النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام حيث فرضها الله عز وجل عليه 5 صلوات في اليوم والليلة في السماء السابعة دليل على عظم منزلة هذه الصلاة.
And the fact that Allah Azza wa Jalla legislated salawat, the salawat al-khams, upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the 5 daily prayers, while he was in the seven or above the seven or up in the seven heavens, is a proof of the great station of this salawat, of this prayer.
No.
Then he mentioned that he remained upon this for 10 years, calling to Tawheed. Then after 10 years, he was carried into the heavens, and the 5 daily prayers were obligated upon him. He prayed in Mecca for 3 years, and thereafter he was commanded with migration to Medina. Migration al-hijra is to move from the land of polytheism to the land of Islam. Migration from the land of polytheism to the land of Islam is an obligation upon this ummah, and it remains as such until the hour is established. The proof for this is in the saying of
الدليل
Allah.
على وجوب الهجرة من بلاد الكفر إلى بلاد الإسلام لمن استطاع ذلك.
And this is an evidence establishing the wujub and the wajib nature of making the migration from the lands of kufr to the lands of Islam for those who are able to do so.
فمن لم يستطع إظهار دينه فالهجرة عليه واجبة.
For the one who is able, لم يستطع.
فمن لم يستطع إظهار دينه الهجرة عليه واجبة.
And so the one who is not able to make manifest his religion, then هجرة is wajib for him.
وذلك لقوله عليه الصلاة والسلام أنا بريء من كل مسلم يقيم بين أظهر المشركين.
And that is based upon the statement of the Prophet ﷺ, I am free from every Muslim that remains or takes up residence among the mushrikeen.
وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام لا ترى ناراهما, يعني المسلم والكافر.
And the Prophet ﷺ likewise said that they should not see each other's fires.
أما إن استطاع إظهار دينه فهنا اختلف أهل العلم, منهم من قال بالوجوب واستمراره ومنهم من قال بالاستحباب.
But if it is possible to make manifest one's religion, then here the scholars have differed. From them are those who hold that it is still wajib, and from them are those who hold that it is desirable.
لكن إظهار الدين معناه إظهار البراءة من الكفر وأهله ودينهم.
But making the deen manifest is by necessity and in terms of its meaning to be able to make manifest the bara'ah and the disassociation from shirk and its people. And there's no issue with that.
أن يتعلم دينه ويأمن من الفتن.
And that he's able to learn his religion and he's safe from fitan.
وهذا أمر يخصكم يجب عليكم فيه الاجتهاد في السعي في الهجرة إلى بلاد المسلمين. أسأل الله عز وجل أن يفرج عنا وعنكم.
آمين. And so Sheikh, he mentions, and this is something that is in specific and particular to you, and no doubt we make dua that Allah Azza wa Jal facilitates ease in you making migration to the lands of the Muslimin.
Sheikh Al-Albani رحمه الله وغيره من العلماء ذكر أن أسباب الهجرة لبلاد الكفر هي لأمرين، إما للدنيا أو للجهل بحكم الإقامة ببلاد الكفر.
And Sheikh Al-Albani has mentioned that in relation to migrating to the lands of kufr, to the lands of the non-Muslim, it returns back to one of two things. Either it is because of jahl, or either because of ignorance with the ruling of Allah Azza wa Jal. Either because of dunya and desiring the dunya, or because of ignorance concerning the rule of Allah Azza wa Jal in relation to remaining in the lands of the Muslimin.
نعم,
and then he mentioned that the proof for this is in the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, verily as for those whom the angels take in death while they were wronging themselves, the angels say to them, in what condition were you? And they will reply, we were weak and oppressed in the earth. And the angels will say, and was not the earth of Allah spacious enough for you to emigrate therein? Such will find their abode in hell, and what an evil destination, except the weak ones among them, women and children, who cannot devise a plan, nor are they able to direct their own way. For these there is hope that Allah Azza wa Jal will forgive them, and Allah Azza wa Jal is pardoning after forgiving. And also the saying of Allah the Most High, O my servants who believe, certainly spacious is my earth, so worship me. Imam al-Baghawi rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that the reason behind the revelation of this verse was because of the Muslims who were in Mecca and yet did not migrate. Allah addressed them with the title of Iman. And so the proof for migrating and al-hijrah from the sunnah is in the saying of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, hijrah will not end until repentance comes to an end, and repentance will not end until the sun rises from the west. Once he had settled in Medina, he was commanded with the rest of the legislations of Islam, such as zakah, fasting, hajj, jihad, the call to prayer, enjoining the good and forbidding the evil, and other than these from the Islamic legislation. He established that over a period of 10 years.
أغلب شرائع الإسلام شرعت في العهد المدني حين استقر الإسلام في القلوب وانتشر وكان لهم يعني مكان يقيمون فيه ويظهرون فيه دينهم.
And so the majority of the rulings of Islam occurred after the Prophet ﷺ migrated to Medina, once Iman had been established in the hearts, and the Prophet ﷺ had a state and Iman was established in the hearts, then these rulings were then, or these legislations then came down.
No.
Then he continues that he established that over the period of 10 years, and then he passed away. May the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal and his messenger be upon him. But his religion remains, and this is his religion. There is no good except that which he, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, directed his ummah towards. And there is no evil except that which he warned his ummah from. The good that he directed the ummah towards is tawheed, and everything that Allah Azza wa Jal loves and is pleased with. And the evil that he warned from is shirk, idolatry, and everything that Allah Azza wa Jal hates and rejects. Allah sent him to all of the people in totality, and he obligated the jinn and humankind to show obedience to him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The proof for that is in the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal the Most High, say, O people, I am the messenger of Allah to you all. That Allah Azza wa Jal completed the religion for him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the proof for this is in the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, this day have I perfected for you your religion and completed my favor upon you, and have chosen for you Islam as your religion.
وهذا يدل على أن دين الله عز وجل كامل فلا يجوز الابتداع فيه.
And so this indicates that the religion of Allah عز وجل is complete, and so it is not permissible to innovate in it.
فمن ابتدع بدعة فهذا يدل على أنه يعتقد أن الإسلام غير كامل ويحتاج إلى ما ابتدعه.
And so the one who innovates a religion, then it indicates his belief that Islam is not complete and it requires what he has innovated.
No.
Then he mentioned the proof of the Prophet ﷺ's death is in the statement of Allah the Most High, verily you, O Prophet, will die, and verily they too will die. Then on the day of resurrection you will be disputing before your Lord. Once the people have died, they will be resurrected, and the proof is in the saying of Allah the Most High, from the earth we created you, and into it we shall return you, and from it we shall bring you out once again. And also in the saying of the Most High, and Allah Azza wa Jal has brought you forth from the dust of the earth, and then he will return you into it and bring you forth again. After the resurrection, they will be taken to account and recompensed according to their deeds. And the proof for that is in the saying of Allah Azza wa Jal the Most High, and to Allah belongs all of that which is in the heavens and in the earth, that he may recompense those who do evil for that which they have done, and reward those who do good with what is best, i.e. paradise.
هذا كله داخل في قضية الإيمان باليوم الآخر.
And all of this enters into believing in the day of judgment. He said, whomsoever denies the resurrection has disbelieved. And the proof is in the saying of Allah the Most High, the disbelievers pretend that they will never be resurrected. Say to them, yes, by my Lord, you shall certainly be resurrected. Then you will be informed of what you did, and that is easy for Allah. Allah sent all of the messengers as bringers of glad tidings and as warners. And proof of this is in the statement of Allah the Most High, messengers as bearers of glad tidings and as well as warning, in order that mankind should have no plea against Allah after the messengers. The first of the messengers was Nuh, and the last of them was Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he is the
seed. هذا يدل على الفرق بين النبي والرسول، لأن أول الأنبياء آدم وأول الرسل نوح عليه الصلاة والسلام. وهذه المسألة وهي الفرق بين النبي والرسول فيها أقوال كثيرة لأهل العلم، لكن أصحها وأكثرها سلامة من الاعتراض هي قضية أن النبي أرسل إلى قوم موافقين، والرسول أرسل إلى قوم مخالفين كافرين.
And this indicates the difference between a prophet and a messenger, and the fact that the prophets and the messengers, the first of the prophets was Adam, while the first of the messengers was Noah. And the scholars have many positions concerning the difference between a prophet and a messenger, but that which is most conclusive and most correct is the position of those who say that the messenger is that the prophet is the one that was sent to a people who were believers, while the messenger was one that was sent to a people who rejected and belied him. The prophet is the one that was sent to a people who were believers, while the messenger was one that was sent to a people who rejected him.
No.
And the first of the messengers was Nuh, and the last of them was Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he is the seed of the prophet, and there is no prophet after him. The proof for that is in the saying of Allah Azza wa Jalla the Most High, Muhammad is not the father of any man among you, and he is the messenger of Allah and the last of the prophets. And the proof that Nuh is the first of the messengers is in the saying of Allah Azza wa Jalla the Most High, verily we have inspired you, O Muhammad, as we inspired Nuh and the prophets after him. Allah sent to every nation a messenger from Nuh to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and commanded them to worship Allah alone without associating partners with him in worship, and warning them from the worship of the false deities, the taghut. The proof for that is in the saying of Allah the Most High, and verily we have sent among every nation a messenger proclaiming worship Allah alone and keep away from the false deities. Allah Azza wa Jalla has obligated upon all of the servants to disbelieve in the false deities and to believe in Allah Azza wa Jal. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala stated.
طبعا هنا ذكر أن من مكملات أو من يعني أصول التوحيد أن نعبد الله وأن نجتنب الطاغوت. ما هو الطاغوت؟ قال الطاغوت أخذ من الطغيان، والطغيان معناه مجاوزة الحد، كما قال عز وجل في الماء الذي أرسله إلى قوم نوح، إنا لما طغى الماء، أي تجاوز حده فأغرقهم.
And so he goes on to mention that which is related to the طاغوت, to the affair of the طاغوت, and that is of course those things that are worshipped besides Allah عز وجل. And the meaning of طاغوت is from طغيان, which is a reference to something that transgresses its boundaries or transgresses boundaries or goes past its boundary. Just as Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned in relation to the water that was sent down upon the people of Nuh, inna lamma tagalma, that indeed we, when the water went beyond its bounds, yani when it traversed past its boundaries, yani when they were flooded.
ثم ذكر تعريف ابن القيم الطاغوت قال ما تجاوز به العبد حده من متبوع أو معبود أو مطاع فكل ما حصل فيه الغلو والمجاوزة الحد فهو داخل في حد الطاغوت.
Then he mentioned the definition of Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, who said that the meaning of طاغوت is that thing by way of which the servant goes beyond bounds with something, and that is worshipped, whether worshipped or followed or obeyed.
فالذين يعبدون الأصنام ويعبدون الأولياء ويعبدون حتى الأنبياء هؤلاء طواغيت، لكن الذي عبد وهو ليس براض مثل الذي عبد من الأنبياء هذا لا يسمى طاغوت.
And so the one who worships the awliya or worships the asnam or worships even the anbiya, even the prophets, they are considered tawaghit. But of course the one who is worshipped but is not happy and pleased with being worshipped, then they are not referred to as a taghut, like the anbiya of course.
ثم ذكر بعد ذلك رؤوس الطواغيت وقوله رؤوس الطواغيت هذا يدل على أن الطواغيت كثيرة.
And then he went on to mention the heads of the tawaghit, or the heads of the things that are worshipped besides Allah. And that will indicate to you the fact that the things that are worshipped besides Allah are many, the tawaghit are many.
لذلك أضاف عليهم الشيخ ابن تيمين رحمه الله تعالى على هؤلاء الطواغيت قال منهم علماء الضلالة علماء البدع.
And for that reason, the Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, he added to these tawaghit, he added to this list of tawaghit, he said, from them, the ulama of dalala, the ulama of misguidance and bid'ah, he added them as being from among the tawaghit.
ولا تعني كلمة طاغوت أنه كافر.
And the kalima طاغوت does not necessitate that he's a kafir.
فقد يكون من باب المعاصي وقد يكون من باب الكفر.
Because it may be from by way of ma'asi, by way of sin, and it may be by way of kufr.
ثم ذكر رؤوسهم الخمسة. نعم.
And then he mentions their five main heads, and with his statement, and the tawaghit are numerous, but the heads of them are five. Number one, Iblis, may Allah's curse be upon him. Number two, one who is worshipped and is pleased with that. Number
وهذا three, القيد مهم كما ذكرنا من عبد وهو راض.
And this qayr, this aspect of this second condition is of the essence. It is important that is not just one that is worshipped, but one that is worshipped and is pleased with that.
حتى يخرج من عبد عيسى ومن عبد نبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم.
نعم. So in order to remove those who worship Isa, those who worship the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Of course, the Prophet and Isa عليهم السلام are not considered طواغيت. Even though the people worship them, they were not pleased with being worshipped.
No.
Thirdly, he mentions the one who claims to have something of the knowledge of the unseen. Fourthly, the one who causes people to worship him. And fifthly,
وهذا يدخل فيه كثير من أئمة الضلال من الصوفية وغيرهم ممن يرضى بأن الناس يعبدونه ويتبركون به، بل يوصون بأنه إذا مات يقام له مشهد وقبر يدعو يعبدونه من دون الله.
And this of course is a reference to those who allow or permit or are pleased with those who call upon them and those who worship them, and or those who leave as a bequest that they should be worshipped or that dua be made to them and so on. And this includes and encompasses those people from the people of Sufi and the likes.
وذكر النوع الرابع وهو من ادعى شيئا من علم الغيب ويدخل في هذا الساحر والكاهن وغيره.
He mentions the fourth category, and that is those who claim to have knowledge of the unseen, those who enter into this category is the likes of the soothsayers and magicians and their likes.
إذا كان خير البشر لا يعلم الغيب كما قال الله سبحانه وتعالى ولو كنت أعلم الغيب لاستكثرت من الخير فكيف بمن هو أدنى منه.
If the best of mankind did not know the unseen, as Allah Azza wa Jalla said concerning him, say, if I knew the unseen, then I لو كنت أعلم الغيب, if I knew to, I would have done plenty of good, I would have performed plenty of good, and nothing from bad would have touched me. If that is the case with the best of mankind, then what is the case then with anyone less than him?
ومر معنا في حديث جبريل لما سأله متى تقوم الساعة قال ما المسؤول بأعلم من السائل, بمعنى أني أنا لا أعرف وأنت لا تعرف وإنما الذي يعرف هو الله وحده.
And it has passed with us in the hadith of Jibreel when the Prophet ﷺ was asked when is the hour, he said ما المسؤول عنها بأعلم من السائل, يعني the one who is questioned knows no better than the questioner. The one who is questioned knows no better than the questioner. That is, I don't know and you don't know. Allah Azza wa Jal alone knows.
نعم. والنوع الخامس من هؤلاء وهو من حكم بغير ما أنزل الله.
And the fifth from these individuals is the one who judges by other than what Allah has revealed.
وكل من حكم بغير ما أنزل الله فهو داخل في الكفر.
So every individual who judges by other than what Allah has revealed, then he enters into this kufr.
لكن هذا الكفر قد يكون كفرا مخرج من الملة وقد يكون كفرا أصغر ليس خارج به من الملة.
But this kufr may possibly be kufr that exits a person from the religion. It may be considered minor kufr by way of which a person doesn't exit the religion.
فإن كان يحكم بغير ما أنزل الله وهو يعتقد أن حكم القوانين أفضل من الشريعة فهذا كفر.
And so if he judges by other than what Allah Azza wa Jal reveals, and he believes that this قوانين or that this man-made law is better than the شريعة, then this is كفر.
بمعنى كفر أكبر.
That is major كفر.
يعتقد أن القوانين مساوية لحكم الله فهذا كفر أكبر.
If he believes that the حكم of the قوانين or the man-made law is equal, the first one better. This one equal to the law of Allah Azza wa Jal, then this is major kufr.
إن استحل العمل بالحكم بغير ما أنزل الله ورأى أنه ليس بمحرم فهذا أيضا كفر.
If thirdly he believes that it is halal to judge by other than the law of Allah Azza wa Jal, يعني there is no problem with that, then this is likewise major kufr.
أما من حكم بغير الشريعة هو يعتقد أنه مرتكب محرم ويعتقد أن الشريعة أفضل ولكنه أخذه الهوى وحظ النفس أو الضغوط وغيرها فهذا كفر أصغر وليس بخارج من الملة.
As far as the one that judges by other than what Allah Azza wa Jal has revealed though, and he believes in his heart that the rule of Allah is better, he believes in his heart that he is sinful for doing so, he knows that he shouldn't be doing so, but he does it anyway because of either some peer pressure, or because of some hawa, some desire, or because of something related to the dunya. But he passes that ruling and he judges by what Allah Azza wa Jal, or by other than what Allah has revealed. But he believes that the judgment of Allah is better. He knows he's sinful. Then this is minor kufr. This is not the kufr that exits a person from the religion. He is sinful, but he has not exited the religion.
Dalil.
And the evidence for that, he goes on to mention the statement of Allah the Most High, there is no compulsion in religion, and verily the right path has become distinct from the wrong path. Whoever disbelieves in Taghut and believes in Allah, then he has grasped the most trustworthy handhold that will never break, and Allah is all hearing, the all knower. And this is the meaning of La ilaha illallah. And there is a hadith which states that the head of the affair is Islam, its pillar is the prayer, and the uppermost part of its hump is the jihad in Allah's cause.
ذكر هنا الأدلة على ما مضى من بعض هذه الطواغيت وبيان الحكم الكفر بالطاغوت. قال فمن يكفر بالطاغوت ويؤمن بالله. وقوله هنا من يكفر بالطاغوت ويؤمن بالله, هذه الآية مما أو تضاف لما سبق من الآيات التي تفسر معنى لا إله إلا الله. يكفر بالطاغوت هذا النفي, ويؤمن بالله هذا الإثبات, فقد استمسك بالعروة الوثقى. العروة الوثقى هي لا إله إلا الله.
And so this verse here is from the verses that should be added to the verses that are used to explain the meaning of لا إله إلا الله. And that is that we have in this verse some more of the conditions around believing in لا إله إلا الله. And that is that whoever disbelieves in طاغوت, which is negation, and believes in Allah, which is affirmation, then he has held and grasped the most trustworthy handhold that will never break, And that is the belief in Tawheed, that is the belief in La ilaha illallah.
نعم بهذا نكون انتهينا من المتن بحمد الله وقوته ونسأل الله عز وجل لنا ولكم التوفيق والسداد نسأله عز وجل أن يجعل ما علمنا حجة لنا لا علينا فختم هذا الكتاب بقوله الله أعلم وصلى الله على محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم
And so with that we come to the end of the book and alhamdulillah we have sealed our study of Usul al-Thalatha in this session and We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make what we have studied a proof for us and not a proof against us. And he sealed the book with his statement, Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. And Allah knows best, the one who is free of all perfections, the most high. May Allah extol our leader Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon his family, upon his companions.